Excellencies, Afghan women and girls. I have the honour to address you for the first time as the Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Afghanistan. And in light of the subject matter today, the Coordinating Committee of Special Procedures has asked me to deliver our joint statement. First, I expressed profound sympathy for the communities affected by last week's earthquake. I also note the need for intensified humanitarian aid and support, ensuring aid is delivered in a way that reaches Afghan women and girls and other marginalized groups. Excellencies, since August 2021, my colleagues have consistently and increasingly raised concerns about the situation of women and girls in Afghanistan. Since I took up my mandate and visited Afghanistan, information received confirms a rapidly deteriorating state of affairs. Information from areas where the Taliban had been in control in the period leading up to the overthrow of the Islamic Republic indicated that degradation of women's rights were central to their ideology. These violations included forced early and child marriage, restrictions on women's attire and movement, exclusion from education and public life, and barriers to employment. These rights violations also align with those reported by the special procedures under Taliban rule in the 1990s. Therefore, it should come as no surprise that despite public assurances from the Taliban that they would respect women's and girls' rights, they are reinstituting step by step the discrimination against women and girls characteristic of their previous term and which is unparalleled globally in its misogyny and oppression. Excellencies, from the 15th to 26th May, I visited Afghanistan to assess the human rights situation. I visited the north and south, as well as the capital, and met with a broad range of stakeholders, including several courageous women's groups. I also met with several acting ministers and provincial governors. They told me that they will respect the international human rights treaties ratified by Afghanistan, but only to the extent that they are not in conflict with Sharia law. I repeatedly raised concerns about abuses of women's rights, including the ongoing suspension of girls from secondary education. The authorities informed me that a committee led by the acting justice was examining the matter, but they gave no indication of when schools would reopen or under what conditions. The resumption of girls' secondary education is far from the only concern. Restrictions made during the last months by the Taliban that have wiped out gains made by women and girls over the last 20 years, including restrictions on employment, travel, and attire. The Taliban's intentions are not only to impose absolute gender discrimination, they are aimed at making women invisible by excluding them almost entirely from society. For example, women are represented by men at the current Grand Assembly. These measures contravene Afghanistan's obligations under numerous human rights treaties to which it is a state party. They massively diminish women's lives, deliberately attack women and girls' autonomy, freedom, and dignity, and create a culture of impunity for domestic violence, child marriage, and sale and trafficking of girls, to name but a few of the consequences. As a young Afghan woman told me, quote, "The international community cannot leave us at the darkest moment in our history. If you do, soon Afghan women will disappear fully from society and our dreams will be broken. We are 50% of the population and we want to speak to the Taliban directly," unquote. Therefore, with my colleagues from the Coordination Committee, I call on the Taliban to create a meaningful dialogue with Afghan women, listen and respond directly to their demands, and ensure that women freely participate in civil, political, and economic life. Respect all women and girls' right to education at all levels. Open secondary schools for all children now. Ensure that women can play an active part in the workforce. Remove the restrictions on movement that impedes women's daily life and ensure access to healthcare. Respect the right to peaceful protest by women and girls and refrain from all forms of violence and abide by all international human rights obligations, including engaging with human rights mechanisms. I also call upon the international community to ensure a concerted effort demanding women's participation at all levels of decision-making processes, including in the delivery of humanitarian aid, increase their support for Afghan women and girls, and take the strongest possible measures to ensure that their rights are protected, including by intensifying pressure on the de facto authorities to restore and respect them. Provide Afghan female-led civil society organizations inside and outside the country with all necessary support, and ensure the maximum available resources to realize the human rights of women and girls. Violations of women's and girls' rights are being documented by my mandate and others with a view to providing redress and gender justice for victims. I call for meaningful support for this from the Council. Excellencies, the human rights situation for women and girls is devastating. In August 2021, my colleagues urged the Council to act. This call remains equally valid now. My colleagues and I will continue to monitor all human rights with a focus on women and girls, and I will further address this matter in my report in September. Mr. President, I thank you.